Next, Laura Lawton. Makers of Babbo present Laura Lawton, the story of what it means to be the wife of one of the richest, most attractive men in all America. The story of the conflict between love and riches in a world so many dream of, but where so few dreams come true. Ladies, now listen to one of the most amazing offers Laura Lawton has ever made.
Friends, this is Laura. Most of you have heard about the Christmas cards that have meant so much and brought back such tender memories to both Peter and myself. And my wonderful news is I've made special arrangements to share these lovely cards with you, my good radio friends. The cards were printed in wonderful Christmas colors by the famous Stony Brook Press. And you can all order all you need for everyone on your list. Every single design is a favorite of mine. Each one is homey, friendly, really Christmassy. And the part that makes me happiest is I can offer you these cards of mine at a tremendous saving. It's our way of saying Merry Christmas and thanks for your loyalty and your friendship. So do send in today. Thank you.
Now, friends, picture these gorgeous Stony Brook Art Christmas cards of Laura's. They're large French fold cards, each with an attractive design in four brilliant colors. Red poinsettias, bright green pine trees and holly, snow-capped rooftops, every card brimming over with Christmas cheer. And what a bargain. With prices so high today, you know how much you'd pay in retail stores. Yet, to thank old friends and win new friends for economical grease dissolving Babbo, we offer you 10 cards for only a quarter or 50 cards for $1. That way you get a bonus of 10 extra cards, save even more money. Here's all you do. Cut the word Babbo from the green label. Mail it with only 25 cents a quarter for your set of 10 Stony Brook Art Christmas cards with envelopes. Or send a dollar bill with the word Babbo and get 50 of these lovely cards, enough for everyone on your list. Mail with your name and full address to Laura Lawton, Box 76, New York City 8. It's the bargain of a lifetime, so send today. Have your cards for early mailing. The address again, Laura Lawton, L-A-W-T-O-N, Box 76, New York City 8. Offer good only in United States. And now, Laura Lawton. In London, England, Laura's sitting quietly in her little flat in the suburbs as the search for her husband, Peter Carver, gets underway. Staying with Laura is his secretary, May Case, and reporting on progress is their good friend, Joe Barney. Now, as Joe comes up the stairs to the flat, May meets him halfway, saying...
Joe?
Hello, May. No news yet.
You promised me, you know, if there's bad news.
I'll tell you first, but there's no news of any kind. Mail from home, however.
Joe, when should I let Gail know her brother's missing? When should I let his brother-in-law know? Quite suddenly, I've become completely incompetent.
Don't do anything until Scotland Yard gives us the go-ahead, May. It's all important that no one lets the other side know about this.
But, Joe...
I know how difficult it is, May, but...
What are you saying out here?
Oh, hello, Laura.
What are you saying? What's happened? What are you telling May that you can't tell me, Joe?
Nothing, Laura.
Laura, nothing. I give you my word.
Please don't lie to me. It's bad enough waiting and watching, but if I don't feel I'm getting the truth, I can't bear it. That's so awful.
Laura, May came out to see if I had any news. I hadn't. Not a bit.
That's the truth, Laura. I won't do it again. I asked Joe to tell me first if anything happened. It was wrong of me. I'm sorry.
It's all right, only don't shut me out of things, please. That's what I can't bear, not knowing.
Well, let's go in the flat. We'll be holding up traffic here if we don't.
Yes. Come in, Joe.
I've been all over Whitehall today, seeing old friends, trying to get some information.
Did you begin inquiries on Ilseborg?
Yes, without much results, though.
Well, that's what I was afraid of.
When I think of the times we wined and dined her uncle, the ambassador, back in Washington...
But because of his important position in world affairs, May, he mustn't be involved. Therefore, we can't do anything through him now.
Why did Peter have to get so involved with her? The thing is...
The thing is to sit tight. Laura, P. Peter isn't dead. I'm sure of that.
It's nice for you, Joe. I wish I could be sure of anything at all. I'm not, you know. I'm pretty bewildered.
Aren't we all? Now, this is my reason for believing Peter is alive. It's a very simple one. He isn't any use to anyone dead. Do you see?
That's going along with the theory of ransom, that he's being held for ransom.
And a strange kind of ransom. Political ransom, not money. I think they will use Peter as a means of getting political favors, a few visas, a few passports, and so on. Then, Peter will come back.
Well, that sounds very nice, Joe, if I believed it. Or rather, if I knew it were so, but not knowing it... Well, you see, you simply cannot derive any great satisfaction or help from simple explanations, which are theories only.
Laura. All right, dear. You're quite right. It's most unfair of us to try to protect you from actualities. You have to forgive us. It's only because we love you. Or rather, I love you. Joe likes you.
I don't want to seem petulant or ungrateful.
Oh, rubbish. Look, May is concerned about Peter's people, about his sister and her husband.
But you said you were advised by Scotland Yard not to say anything of this to anyone.
That's right.
Well, I've enough faith in them to go by that, then. Faith in them and fear of doing any single thing that might hurt Peter. It's such a responsibility, that the fear of knowing.
Yes, the fear of knowing.
Well, let's not talk about that. I've been writing to Gail.
Have you said anything?
No, May, I haven't said anything, literally. Just light, inconsequential talk that means nothing at all, but it's the best I can do. It's the best any of us can do. Chatter and wait. Just chatter and wait.
And in Washington, Gail and her husband, Angus MacDonald, are at home in their living room. Gail is saying...
I have Laura to thank for my being so efficient, Angus.
Well, how do you mean, Gail?
Well, if Laura hadn't designed those divine Christmas cards so early, I'd never have ordered them. And look, they're all addressed, ready to go out. Aren't you proud of me? And of Laura, of course. They're the loveliest cards we ever sent.
Mm-hmm. I'm a man content with many things. My home, my wife, my family, and my friends.
You sound almost smug, Angus.
Yeah, I know. I'm settling down for the winter, I guess.
I wrote May and told her I expected everybody home for Christmas.
Well, you know perfectly well they won't come unless they want to. They're all rugged individualists, every one of them.
Yes, I know that.
As were you before you met me.
Oh, come now, Angus. You're not trying to be the stern, masterful type at this late date.
No, I need more practice. Tell me, has Peter written to you?
No, isn't that mean of him?
Yeah. Well, I wondered a little. He hasn't written to me, and... Well, it's certainly amazing how Peter can relax about his shipyards. Leaving them entirely in my hands, I mean.
It'll do him good, Angus. And you're so brilliant, darling.
Oh, thank you.
I mean it. Oh, Angus, do you think that's company?
Yes, I do, darn it.
Angus MacDonald, where's your southern hospitality?
It is sadly wanting this evening.
Well, whoever it is, be polite, Angus, after all.
Oh, I'll be polite, but I may not be enthusiastic. Yes?
Mr. MacDonald?
Yes?
Good evening, Mr. MacDonald. I'm from the United States Foreign Office. My name is Campbell, John Campbell. My card and my credentials.
Oh. Well, how do you do, Mr. Campbell? Come in, won't you?
Thank you. Are you alone, Mr. MacDonald?
Well, my wife's at home.
Is there any way we can talk without your wife knowing what we're talking about?
Well, yes, but...
It's about her brother, Mr. MacDonald. I've been expressly ordered not to alarm her. But what I have to say to you and the questions I might have to ask might very well be alarming.
Oh, I see. Well, look, suppose you step in here.
Splendid.
I'll take care of Mr. MacDonald.
Angus, dear, who in the world is it? Who is at the door?
It's a chap from the office, Gail. Look, darling, I have some things to go over with him. You'll excuse me?
Well, all right, I suppose. I don't think it's nice for them to bother you, though.
Well, I won't be long, I promise.
I'm getting so I like you around, Angus. I get jealous of people.
That's good to hear. Well, Mr. Campbell?
This is a charming house, Mr. McDonald.
Thank you. We like it. My brother-in-law got it for us when I came out of the service. It's in a dingy neighborhood, but we think it's been worth redoing. Smoke?
No, thanks. When did you see your brother-in-law last, Mr. McDonald?
Some months ago. What's happened to him?
We don't know. He's missing.
Missing?
British intelligence informed us he's disappeared from London. His wife reported the disappearance. And from all the looks of things, he's been mixed up with some rather troublesome characters.
Oh.
We have no more facts than that, Mr. McDonald. I don't think they're enough to go on to alarm your wife. We know how devoted she is to her brother.
Oh, what about Laura, Mrs. Carver?
Holding up very well, from reports.
I see.
She and Miss Case, Mr. Carver's secretary, are displaying great control and behavior. It's most commendable.
Look, I'd better go to them.
No, it wouldn't do any good. We can get messages to them, but it is very necessary for you to be here. You see, our foreign intelligence, working with the British, have an idea that all this has something to do with the shipyards.
Oh?
You've got to stay on guard here.
Mm-hmm. There's no trace of Peter?
None at all. He left the Claridge Hotel saying he was joining his wife. That might have been Miss Lawton, or...
Mr. Carver has only one wife, Mr. Campbell.
That is something that, Well, that's beside the point.
What?
It all looks rather serious, however, Mr. McDonald, from the point of view of shipping and the Navy. Do you see?
And in a large old farmhouse in France, where he's been taken against his will by Ilse Borg, Peter sits before an enormous fire, saying to Madame Prunier, the owner,
"How long do you intend to keep me a prisoner, Madame Prunier?" "All right. Silence is golden, of course, but how long before you think I shall make a break? After all, Madame, I'm not unacquainted with France. I could find my way around very well." "Somehow I haven't guided the conversation into very fruitful paths, have I? It's all terribly one-sided, isn't it?"
Ladies, if you'd like your Christmas cards this year to be especially beautiful, really outstanding, then write in today. Get all the gorgeous Stony Brook Art Christmas cards you need and save real money. These are handsome French fold cards, each with an attractive Christmassy design in full brilliant color. They're unusual, distinctive, cards every friend will long remember. So send now, mail early. For each set of 10 Stony Brook Art Christmas cards with envelopes, just get a can of Babbo, cut the word Babbo out of the green label, mail it with only 25 cents a quarter, together with your name and full address to Laura Lawton, Box 76, New York City 8. Better still, send a dollar bill with the word Babbo and get 50 Stony Brook cards. What a bargain. That way you can save even more money. So order now for early mailing. Address Laura Lawton, L-A-W-T-O-N, Box 76, New York 8. Will be on the air at the same time tomorrow. Ford Baum speaking for B.T. Babbitt Incorporated, makers of Babbo.
For free-flowing drain pipes, flush pipes every week with Lycons. L-Y-C-O-N-S.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.